Teacher
Welcome
Corps.
to
Welcome to Teacher
Teacher Corps.
Corps. I am Miss Matt. I teach high school health and PE.
I'm Matt Barton. Teach choir, piano, theater, all the music stuff.
I'm Julia. I'm a high school art teacher and teach digital photography, graphic design, and intro to studio art. And that's me. And today, we're just going to be trying to help you out. I get a lot of DMs from a lot of people looking to go into education, or student teachers, or young teachers, or just anybody in general that's curious about the field. I got like 400 questions. Did you see the video I posted?
You had so many comments. I was concerned for you
I was concerned.
when I
I was
saw that.
scared. You were responding
I
to a
read
lot
like
of them. I was like,
10%.
all right, go off then.
A lot of them were really easy to answer.
Yeah,
I
that's
don't
true.
know.
The question that we get asked a lot is what is your degree and how did you become a teacher? Advisors are an amazing thing. Okay, when you go to college and if you decide on education or if you go in undecided, you will get put with an advisor and you say, hey, I think I want to do PE. I think I want to do choir. I think I want to do art education. Your advisor will set you up with that. Every university is different. So it's so hard for us to address. Like I did a video before where I said, this is what I did. And I had so many other PE teachers commenting, I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to do
Me
that. Well, I
too.
had to do this. Every university is going to be different, y'all.
Yeah.
So when you ask us, what do we major in? What is your degree? And how do you become a teacher? You do have to go to college. You do need your teaching license. You do need a degree. So just know you need those things and talk to your advisor.
Yeah. And it depends on state heavily too. Like each
It's
state is very
heavily,
different.
heavily.
I get qu questions about salary a lot. I don't know. It depends on
All
what state you
different.
live in. So, like a college degree in relation to your field, if not education in relation to your field, a teaching license. So, if you didn't go to school for education, you're going to have to go into a licensure program to get your teaching license with probably some form of student teaching, I would
Yes,
think.
I believe that that's required.
And you're going to need to pass any sort of exams that they have for you in your content area. There's usually a general exam and then another exam for your content area. I might be wrong though. Like I had to take a like literacy and communication one and then an arts-based one, which I
Yeah.
guess was technically three different tests because like the first one was split into two. But that's what I had to do. So me personally, I went to college, I got a degree in art education, I did my student teaching, I got my teaching license, I passed all my tests, and I'm currently in a master's degree program because for my state, I teach in Massachusetts. Within 5 years of starting teaching, you have to have your or start you have to be on track to getting your master's degree. So just being like, is I don't know if that's an every state
It's not
thing.
in mine. It's not in Virginia.
No. Lucky.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't
Lucky.
imagine going back to school. Can't. Cannot.
I'm dying right now. In an
Yeah.
hour, I'm going on my it's 4 p.m. At 5 p.m. I have my class from 5 to 8. Like I'm drowning.
So just talk to your advisor. If you are a
Yeah.
freshman or, a career switcher, wherever you're choosing to go to school, talk to your advisor.
To go off of that too, I got like 15 different people saying, how does student teaching work? Because I feel like it's this very like talked about thing in the beginning of your undergrad career, like when you do student teaching, when you do student teaching, but it's so scary to think about, and I don't think they break it down enough for you to understand. So, and Mac, you had student teachers, so you could talk about it too from a supervisor perspective, because that's I might have one next year. I'm like I don't even feel qualified to have one. Student teaching happens if you go on the same track as your college schedule, usually the spring semester of your senior year. You get assigned to a teacher. They are your supervising practitioner, at least that's what it's called for me, or maybe it's your cooperating teacher or something. You essentially go to work with them every single day for like 3 or 4 months straight without getting paid. In fact, you are paying for school tuition when you're only taking like one class, like the student teaching class,
It's so
because
rough.
it's total bull crap, to
Malarkey.
be
And you have to
honest.
provide
Like
your own
the way that it's set
transportation.
up is
And
ridiculous.
yeah,
Yes.
meanwhile, like our friends are having the time of their lives, their senior years, with like maybe two classes
Yeah.
and like raging. And we are working literally, my student teaching led up to 2 days before my graduation. 2 days. And
Really?
yeah,
That sounds
and
about
it was
right.
every day from
Actually,
seven to
same.
three. Every day,
Yes.
7 to 3. And my friends were like just like living it up. And I'm like, well, not me. So just keep that in mind
There's
too.
a picture of me I remember from 2021, 2022 when I was doing my student teaching, and it's my whole friend group at Chili's and me there with my laptop because I didn't want to miss out on the fun, but I had stuff to do. So I was just posted up at Chili's and I was like, guys, this is what I'm teaching tomorrow. And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
This is
this
done.
and you had to write the lesson plan for you had to write
the
were
lesson
like
plans
not,
every day.
oh my God. They were like
So
3 pages
it
each.
was no joke. The lesson plans every day.
Oh, ridiculous, actually. I could pull them
Ridiculous.
up. They're mine were like over like 5 to 10 pages, I feel like,
Which
because
do
my
y'all?
university's template was crazy.
It's crazy. Do y'all do lesson planning now? Like every like obvious
Girl.
obviously okay, we obviously plan, but are we using that template?
No.
Absolutely not.
No. I plan
I'm
directly
more
on
of
the
like,
slides I'm teaching on.
yeah, I'm more of like a bolded person. I'm more of like agenda. This is my lesson plan.
That's
Like,
hilarious. We like it's it becomes very intuitive. So if you're stressed out, that's another question that I got, so I guess that can get out of the way. Like, are you going to actually be lesson planning the same way that you did in college? No, unless
no.
you're that like anal about it and you
And
want
no,
to.
yeah, and not only are you anal about it, but maybe your principal is like,
True.
every Monday you have to upload lesson plans for the week because I have friends who teach at schools where that's a requirement. It's totally like we just said, it's state by state, it's university by university, it's going to be your principal by principal. Like, we can't say, like, every question that we answer doesn't mean that's how it's going to play out for you. So, just like leading into all these other questions we're about to answer, like, just because we're saying this is how it worked for us does not mean that's how it's going to work for all of y'all asking the questions.
True. So to explain it more too, like you get paired with a teacher. You start by pretty much just observing. So in your college experience in general, you're going to have to do observation hours. At least that's how it was for me. You're going to have to go into a classroom. They'll probably give you like some sort of essential question or things that you're supposed to look out for. Maybe you're supposed to look out for how they manage differentiation for special needs students or things like that, or how they structure like routines and expectations and stuff like that. Or you'll just be bulleting what they do every day. And then so when you start your student teaching, you'll start by observing. You can walk around the room. I suggest that you start to get to know the students, just have little conversations with them. You're not in charge of them necessarily yet, so you can start with kind of good cop and you can make kind of buddy buddy with them to establish some sort of a relationship if that's what you're more comfortable doing, because you don't want to start off by giving them like
Establish
direction. They're gonna
dominance.
listen to you.
Yeah, they'd be like, who
Yeah.
is this? Who are you? Yeah, what are
Yeah,
you?
and then I think that's what people get anxious by. So just start by talking to them. You don't have to talk up to them about the work they're doing. Just start by getting to know them as people. And
Yeah.
then eventually you'll start taking a little bit more and more control. Maybe you'll start by introducing the class or being like, this is our agenda for the day. Or maybe that your supervising teacher will do that and your job will be to walk around and to help the students individually. Then you're just taking more and more control until eventually you are the one that is planning the lessons for the classes every single day. Like it is on you when you lean into full takeover, then it's you are the teacher, and your supervising teacher's job is to observe you and to score you. And people from the university will come in and observe you and score you, which sounds scary and it is, but like then eventually when your time is up, you start to release your power and then you give it back to the teacher and you fill out the entire document that you're supposed to submit to your state for licensure, which takes a long time, and then you're
Yeah.
done.
But I feel
Yeah.
like of my time in college, you can learn about theories and like be in classes and get tools, obviously. I felt like I used those tools in student teaching, but it's kind of like learning a language. The moment you're thrown into that setting, that's when you're actually, I learned so much just in that student teaching period. So don't see it as like the scary thing that you have to do all these things. Like that is the, it's like you want to learn Spanish, so you go to Spain for a month. Yeah, it's gonna feel crazy at first, but you're gonna pick it up and like things are gonna start to make sense. Those theories are gonna start to make sense and like in real time. So I don't think of it as like the scary thing. It's just that it's just a the primal learning experience that you have before you start teaching.
Yeah, that's a really great way to compare it, Matt.
Yeah. And it's actually that's segues into another question that I was getting is how does student teaching compare to teaching in the real world?
I think it's very different. It's similar, I guess, because you're still like, you know how to create a structure for a class because you were taught that during student teaching. But like, you are suddenly the adult in the room, and there's nobody to look to in case you like misstep over your words or need like a life jacket or whatever that like life vest, you know what I mean? Like, so it's definitely very, very different, but it's also good different. Because you get to do and act how you feel comfortable acting without the fear of somebody watching you and scoring you the entire time and giving you feedback. Like, you can reflect on your own and give yourself feedback, and that feels pretty empowering, I would guess, as well as terrifying, but
Even to
I
the
don't know,
student
something
teachers
else
I
came up.
have, they were at, they kind of asked me a similar question. I was like, honestly, I would take being in the field and teaching over student teaching and being in college any day. It's so much, obviously, like I said, you learn stuff, but there's nothing like, especially in my setting where like I'm the choir director, I have to pick out all the music, I have to organize all the concert attire, do all of the things, direct the musical. So there's really nothing like, no experience is going to help you with that other than just doing it. And I'm
Yes.
sure it's similar for y'all.
And it's so many of those questions again, like, how do I do this? How do I feel comfortable doing this? You need the experience to be able to do it. Like,
You're
you
just
just
going
have
to
to go
do
through
it.
it
In
to
the moment, you're
experience
just going to
it.
do it. Yeah.
And also with actual teaching, your student teaching, I had to write reflections every single day.
Yes. Oh
Every
my
single
gosh, I
day
forgot we had to do that.
on what we
Yeah,
did and
you
how
blocked it out
every
of your
day I
memory. You're right.
was.
And yeah, like in my little like journal, I had to write
I
every
was
day a
so bad at doing
reflection.
them too. I was like, save them till the end of the week and then be like, what did I do on Monday? Like, I
Yeah.
was so bad at doing it. And I don't do that. I think about stuff when I'm a teacher now, but I'm not like the workload. It's a lot when you're by yourself as a teacher, but it's also a lot less because it's not like it's dependent on submitting it to graduate and get your
Yeah.
licensure. You know what I
Right.
mean? So that's that on student teaching. I mean, like, you'll be fine. You gotta
Yeah.
fail a little bit. My student teaching was pretty tough, but it made me a better teacher my first year because I was able to already have those experiences of how to navigate certain types of conflict and things like that. Like, so it just helps me get more experience. So if you're stressed out, just know that it's going to build you a strong backbone for when you start teaching.
Right. And you need to think that your university wouldn't be choosing these teachers to be clinical teachers if they didn't have confidence in them. And again, that might not be every case, but I had a phenomenal clinical teacher. Like, I am still in touch with her, love her so much. So they're gonna hook you up with the right person that fits you. And ECU is really great with like looking at our personalities and who they thought we would click with well, you know, and what school. So you're, again, when you're in your upper division and your education majors, you're gonna get super close with your advisors, and they're gonna hook you up with the right people to guide you. They're setting you up for success.
Education majors are usually pretty small too. So it's not like you're this like tiny fish in a big pond that doesn't know what you're
Right.
doing. Like, my cohort was like 10 or 15 people maybe.
Yeah, there are like 13 of us. We're so
Yeah,
tight.
super small. So it was easy to get the help that I needed because I knew the people really well and I could trust them. And you're not only student teaching by yourself too, like your entire little group will be with you. So you can make a little group chat and be like, what the heck is going on
Yeah,
every
are we
day?
all so confused? Yeah, that's what we had.
Another question I get is, I'm struggling, and I feel like we talk about this a lot. I'm struggling with filtering out all of the negativity and red flags about teaching. Do you have any advice or positive things to say? I'm a bit scared about it since there is so much negativity. That's like why I made my TikTok, because there's so much negativity.
I mean, there's gonna be people to find negativity in anything. You know, it's whether or not, if you love teaching, if you know you want to do it, you're not gonna let those negative comments affect you.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
like, I don't know, like, yes, of course there's negativity, I'm sure, around any job, but we do see it a lot with teaching.
I would say it's similar to any other job where management and administration makes all the difference. But I wouldn't let that discourage scare you away from teaching in general, because like good administration is common, but people do have bad experiences, so take it with a grain of salt. Obviously, people having bad experiences with like maybe unsupportive admin or just having like a toxic relationship with admin, between admin and parents, it's a similar, like, it's going to be different wherever you go. You just have to know what to look for, especially in your interview or even like your first year.
Yeah, and I feel like that question I got a lot, how do you like continue on with this when there's so many negative questions? And then the next question I got a lot of was, is the pay worth it? And here's the thing, when people ask if the pay is worth it, It's frustrating because I think people think like, oh, any other job I get that's not being a teacher when I graduate from college, I'm gonna be making 100K. Like, no, not necessarily. Like a lot of my friends and my brother's friends who are business majors, I was making the same as them, if not more, and we had our summers off and holidays and all and these other breaks and things like that. So who knows? You could graduate making just as much as the dude or girl who majored in business. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. What do y'all think about
I
this?
also
I just
like
get
I
so
can't
frustrated.
that question frustrates me
Anyone?
a lot. I cannot tell you if the pay is worth it for you. I am not here to give you financial advice. I'm sorry.
Right.
You asking, is the pay worth it? Like I'm really passionate about teaching, but I don't know if I can live up to be a brokey like you. Like that's what it feels like to me a lot of the time. And I know people aren't asking that, but like I can't and I'm not actually mad. I'm just passionate. I'll just say I'm passionate. I can't decide for you if the pay is worth it for you. I don't know where you live. Pay is dependent by what state, what country, where you live, what level you teach at, what like private or public, blah, blah, blah. You have to decide for yourself and your lifestyle if the pay is worth it for you. For my lifestyle, I live by myself. I'm able to pay rent just fine. Do I want to be paid more? Do I think I'm not paid enough for my time? Yes. Do we have routine contract meetings with our union and with our school committee and things like that to try to ratify a new contract? Yes. But am I fine? I'm okay. So that's up for
But
you to
it's
decide.
exactly like we've seen for everything else. So, like, even not even state to state, even district to district, you're going to get paid differently. Especially in some states like Pennsylvania. If you look at that, like, pay scale between each, like, township, whatever they have, it is wildly different. So, you have options. Like, even you can just stay in the place that you're at. You can look at different options to see what pay is going to work best for you.
It's cost of living that factors into that too. Like if your pay is more, the cost of living is going to be higher. Like up near Boston, they're getting like six figures, but like the cost of living is also a lot more. So it's like it all evens out, I guess, eventually.
And you also have to think, like, when I first graduated from college, like, I moved to a bigger city, cost of living was bigger or higher, and I think it just was like broke college student fresh out, like I had to learn to budget, but I think I would have had to do that with any other job I was in, you know. And I don't know, I can't speak for everyone, but if you're already thinking, well, I'm not going to be a teacher because I'm not going to get paid enough, then it's not for you.
Yeah,
And that
it's
might
fine.
upset some people. But I think if you're already so concerned about that, then okay, well, then try something else. You're clearly not that passionate about it. And for high school, like, we have other ways to make money. You know, like, we can stay after and do the work the games, or we can coach. And, like, yeah, it's more added time. But if you're like really like, oh, I'm not making enough, like, ask to be a sponsor of a club, coach, do an extra duty, like, whatever. And I mean, I waitressed on the side for the longest time. And then my summers, I always worked. I also got asked that question, do I work over the summers? This past summer was the first summer I never worked over the summer. And I still was like working, you know, like, it's just like, it's, you're gonna make it work. If you love it, you're gonna make it work. You know, like, it can't all be about, you get so much more fulfillment from what we do, that's outside of pay. But again, if you're already like, eh, I'm not going to teach because I don't think it's going to be, I'm not going to get paid enough, then probably not the career for you.
You
And
will
that's
be having
fine.
contract arguments your entire teaching career, so just like get into the mindset that that is going to be something. Unfortunately, like oh, just like we're talking about student teaching, I don't agree with the way that student teaching is set up, but I'm telling you how it actually is. The salary is going to be an issue if you make it in it, not if you make it an issue, but it's going to be an issue like in your district, probably for the entirety of your career. So just keep that in mind that if that's like a no-go, just don't go into it. But like because I get summers off, I'm able to like I don't want to work during the summer, but I'm able to have some sort of like I don't know, diversity
Differentiation.
and variety of how I'm spending my time and what I do during the summer. I don't think I'm going to do it this summer because I think I'm going to try to bulk up on some grad classes, unfortunately. But I'm a para at an alternative social emotional elementary school program. And so I get to really like it's still school, I guess. I could be waitressing, I could be doing something different, but it gets me kind of excited on how I can spend my time differently. That's a question I got too. Like, what do you guys do during the summer? It's like we work, but It's not like crazy hours. It's just extra spending money, like a lot of people do, not just teachers.
Yeah, and a lot of it's just because I simply can't sit still. Like
Yeah.
I would be,
I'd be
I
bored.
like that like interaction with others, and you know, it's up to you. It's up to who you are as a person. If you want to take all
I
summer
do
off,
bad with free time.
yeah, it's up to you. Like,
That actually segues into a really good question that I think teachers get all the time, especially us. How do you maintain a healthy work-life balance when you have so much on your plate?
you guys are better than that at that than I am, to be honest. Like, I'll let you know when I figure it out, just because of the grad school of it all. But you're also in grad school, so you tell me how you manage your time. Like,
I definitely used to be a lot worse at it, but I think we talked about this in, I think, the first episode, where once I started making my days fuller of life and of people, not overboard, but it really helped me. It made my days feel longer. I didn't just feel like I was going day to day, work to work, 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 work. I spent my time in my day where 3 p.m. didn't feel like the end of the day. 8 p.m. felt like the end of the day. And that's 5 hours of so you could fill that with so many activities, even if you're not going to people. Maybe you're picking up knitting. I really honed in on learning Spanish and making my Spanish better because I had a lot of Spanish speaking students. There's so many things that you could do that maybe could help you on the job, but if you're not filling up your own cup, you're also going to be it's going to be detrimental to how you work. I think it's just feeding yourself. It'll make both better.
Yeah, it's not easy, that's for sure, especially because our job is so social
Yeah.
already. You know, we're talking all day long. That's,
The urge to rot is real.
yeah, like there
Yes.
are days that I just need to get home and I just want to lay down and sit in the dark or whatever. But then I'm like, oh, let me go walk to the beach. And it just is like, oh my gosh, I have so much more energy.
Yeah.
Or maybe, oh, I don't need to get my grocery shopping done on Sunday because I'm done at, 2:30 every day. Let me save that for something to do after school, or like after this, I have a book club to go to. But also, like, I was out last Thursday and Friday. I think I got like a 48-hour flu. Y'all, I have never slept that much. Like, when I tell you I slept for like 20 hours straight, like,
That's
that
wild.
was my body being like, all right, Megan, like, chill
Stop.
out. You need to slow down. Like, you don't need to be like waking up at 3:30 and going till 8 p.m. Like, this is not good for you. And because of that, like, go sleep for 2 days straight. And sometimes you need to be hit like that to be like, all right, chill out. Like,
Yeah.
don't, you're good. Like, maybe say no to that today.
Yeah. The big thing that I had to balance that was more difficult was being an influencer. I had to really hone in, because every person that gives you advice of like, oh, like how to kind of grow your following, kind of grow that community, it's just like post all the time, constantly be coming up with ideas. You need to post every day, twice a day, if not 3 times a day. And you're just like, that just doesn't even seem like I have a job to do. That's not real. That's not a thing. So at first it was definitely tempting, like, oh, I have to come up with an idea for a video. So this, honestly, this stuff, I had to really check myself early and be like, this is not going to take over your whole life. And you're not even going to let it get to that point. How can we kind of balance that thing? Okay, maybe you're posting twice a week. That's still fine. Like, you're fine.
Yeah, I go days without posting. There's like whole weeks I go without posting, but I'm fine. My numbers are good. They're going up, like we're good. I had to try to like tell myself to stop checking the feed. Like that was a big issue for me when I first started because it was super overwhelming. But I've become a lot better at it now. I think like for time management, like when I get into like, and this is my problem, like time management is my issue. I'm a good teacher, like I'm a good friend, like I'm good at individual things, but like when it all compiles together, I get really overwhelmed. I also have ADHD, like, and not like the ADHD, like diagnosed. Like I had a 504 in high school. So like that's also why I'm a great teacher, because I'm very good at like go, 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 go. So the one thing that saves me, and the one thing that I hate doing, is making sure that I have a lot of things scheduled. So like the days, like you said, like when it feels like it ends at 3 p.m. When I have multiple days in a row where I go home and I have nothing to do, I will just like fall into the trap of being comfortable not like doing anything after school, so I have to
Mm-hmm.
really put in the effort to make sure that I have like stuff, even if it's just tasks and not hanging out with people, like just stuff
Yeah.
that I know needs to get done and
Yeah.
segmented.
But it's also okay if you get home at 3 o'clock and you're like, yeah, I'm just gonna watch Love is Blind and not leave
Yes.
my couch for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Like, do it. That's totally
As long
fine.
as
You
you
don't.
know that you can balance that a different day. Yeah, do it. Listen to your body. We are not taught that when we are kids at all, but you need to listen to your body.
One question I got was, I got a couple people asking it, how long did it take you to get your teacher voice? How did you find your teacher voice
And I'm
experience?
still finding it, I feel. I think every day it's like kids that will respond to different things, you know, like yelling doesn't mean that's your teacher voice.
And my teacher
Yeah,
voice, I end up
definitely
getting
like
quieter. Like if someone's really like pissing me off, they know that when it's when I get quiet that they're like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah, I had a student tell me today, they're like, I couldn't never imagine you mad. I'm like, you don't want to. Like, you'll know like if I am, but I don't have to use it often. And yeah, my teaching voice is not screaming. It's like, again, more quiet. Like, I'm just gonna be like, I'm just gonna sit here and I'm not gonna talk. Like, and I usually do, I'll like turn it into something different. Like, I feel super disrespected, or like I'm mad at myself that y'all are acting the way that you are right now, because clearly I didn't do a good enough job. And it's like or like I don't know, because it's different for everyone again.
Teacher face even more than
Yeah.
teacher voice, I feel like. For a teacher voice, when I was in high school and early college and I was like starting to practice presenting, I kept getting points taken off because I would mumble. I would talk really, really quiet because I was super, I don't know, like I like didn't want to talk to, I just felt self-conscious. And when I did my student teaching was when I had to like figure out how to actually project. The one piece of advice that I will give is that when I first started trying to speak loudly, because you will have to speak loudly, like if you're
Yeah,
managing and
just like when
presenting
you're
a class,
speaking to the
not
class.
like not screaming, not yelling, but when you're trying to project, I had to teach myself to project low instead of projecting high and getting shrill and sounding like annoying. Like, God, that is where I went to first, and now like this voice, like I just project in a deeper voice, so it's easier to listen to. That's the one piece of advice I'll give.
I also have a whistle to kind of like let them know when I'm wanting their attention, like do the like little like toot toot whistle, and then they're like, okay, she's about to say something, I'll say what I need to say. So yeah, I think JD, when you first asked that question, I was more thinking discipline teacher voice rather than just like your teacher voice speaking to your class in general, because learning to project your voice, yeah, it definitely took a little bit of time. One of the questions I got, which I think y'all could answer this too, is do I have to be athletic? Let me find exactly like, oh, okay. I'm not very athletic, but can I still be a gym teacher? So, being art and choir, do you think you need to be skilled in that subject area to teach it?
What do we mean by not athletic? Like,
That means they're not, in my eyes, that means they're not good at sports, hand-eye coordination. Like, they're not athletic.
there's just so much of our jobs that involve modeling and demonstration.
That's
And
kind of what I was
even
going to
getting into
say.
college, you have to audition for music, at least you have to audition and get into the music school to even like to do anything at all. So I did grow a lot in college. Like I'm not the same musician I was when I first came in, but a lot of it is modeling. So maybe that's just not for you, and that's okay. But I don't.
Yeah, I was, there's, I would never have my students do something that I can't do myself. And yeah, if I'm like teaching a game and I can't like hit the target that I'm talking about, or like demonstrate how to hold a lacrosse stick the right way or whatever, like my students are gonna be like, do you even know what you're talking about? It would be like if I'm a math teacher trying to do a math problem on the board and explain it and I don't know the next steps, And yes, you can learn it, but also if you're not athletic, do you like sports? Do you like to do, because if you don't,
It sounds
then
like
don't
they just have this
do it.
romanticized idea of how little work gym teachers do. So they're trying to do that. Because otherwise, I don't, if you don't like sports, why are you trying to get that job?
Yeah, I don't.
I got a question that said, is it, do you think it's easier to be an elective teacher? No. For me
Literally
personally,
harder.
no. I
Literally
don't.
harder. I wish I had a curriculum telling me what to do every day. I wish.
Me personally, this is my soapbox moment again because I am the art teacher. I made a joke this for the first episode of this podcast that was like, I get to make art with my kids all day, which I do. That is a total like diluted explanation of what I do every day. I do not get a preset curriculum. I am writing my entire curriculum for every class that I teach: photography, graphic design, and intro to studio art. It's from me. I have lessons from the teachers in the past that they have done, and I kind of reuse and like revamp for myself because they're good foundational lessons for the prerequisite skills that they need in order to extend themselves to other art classes in the future. It is not easier. The amount of material management that I have to go, like, have to be strict about every single day is insane. The amount of setup and cleanup that I do every single day is insane. The amount of assessment and grading that I do every single day is insane. Like, it might be, di I know we all grade differently, so grading might be different. I'm constantly looking for how we can find culturally relevant artists that can be, I keep saying culturally relevant, that's like the one buzzword that I use, but like, relevant artists that they can use for inspiration and stuff like that. Like, I'm constantly like researching and also putting myself into practice at the same time. I have to be skilled in art to be able to demo to them what they have to do every single day. I was making a little like exemplar piece, and I had a kid walk in the other day and he looked at it. He goes, "Damn, JD, sometimes I forget that you're actually good at this." And I was like, I mean, like, I have to. So I would say yes. Like, you need to be competent in the content area that you are teaching in.
And like, I
I
can't
keep
even
gabbing, I'm
imagine
sorry.
doing all that for gym. Like, the idea of managing the physical well-being of, like you said, 90 sometimes kids at a time, I
And the
applaud you.
safety too.
And the safety, yeah. It's you're overwhelmed very often
And just coming up
when
with
you're
games that they're gonna actually enjoy. And hearing the
yes.
complaining, and yeah, you're better than me.
Yeah, we were playing a we had to do like a tiebreaker game, and I was like, let's just do like a quick round of kickball. And I had a student kick the ball. She's so funny, but she was like so annoyed that she had to play this game. She did it. Love her. She kicked it and she's like, I better have abs after this. Like the complaining that you hear. It's like, yeah, by kicking one ball and running to first base,
That's
yeah,
how it
maybe you'll
works,
get.
for sure.
Yeah, we'll say that. I'm gonna answer your question. No, you should not be a PE teacher.
No.
There you go.
What's the best thing and the worst thing about teaching? I kept getting
Oh
that
my
general ass
gosh.
question, but like it's fun.
I think it's
I'll
the same
thank
side of
you
the
first.
coin. The best thing is that I get to connect with human beings all day. And like you said, I'm just making music with kids all day. Like, that's so fun. I get to cultivate a community for them. But the worst thing about it is like kind of the same thing. They get so close to you that a lot of times you feel so bad for these kids. So then when they do act up, it's really hard to like, no, I actually have to write you up for that. Or the bad things happen to them that you have to call CPS. There's so many, you have to truly like take care of them, good and bad.
I would agree with that 100%. I think the second part, it kind of falls under teacher guilt. You know, like you want to be the best you can for
You
them
want to
all
be
the
the
time.
village for them.
Yes, you do, but then there's times where it's like, no, I have to, and you never want to be the bad guy, but sometimes you have to be. I think there's way more good than bad, for sure. Yeah, because I have like the best moment every day. I'm like, oh, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened. But then it will happen again the next day, or like meaningful moments will happen. And yeah, I don't think there are a ton of really bad parts about it other than like feeling like you're letting your students down.
Yeah, and it
And
is
back to the
tiring. negativity question.
Yeah, it's
It's
tiring.
extremely tiring. But back to the negativity question, like how do you like block out all of the negative stuff? Like I'd say the best part about teaching is that it's me in my room every day with my students. And when we are in that room and we are present in the moment, it's just us. I'm not listening to the news articles and what everybody else is complaining about in the lunchroom. Like, when I'm there and I'm teaching, it's an amazing job. The best part about teaching is that I can just be present in the moment and I'm never bored. There's not a period where I'm bored ever at my job.
Yeah. Never,
You
you
know?
know, if you want to find a job that you will never have the same day twice in a row, be a teacher. If you never want to be bored, be a teacher.
The worst part is the grading for me
For
because I have
sure.
bad time management.
So I guess this kind of connects with all like kind of all the things we've been talking about, but especially not just like our relationship with our students. But this person asked, my choir students do not get along. So in the classroom, students do not get along. How do you foster community? How do you constantly try to foster that and nurture that community between students?
I think it starts one-on-one for sure. Like you have to have the individual relationship with each student to get them to individually listen to you when they're acting up as a group.
There have been students that I know don't get along, but I know enough about them to be like, oh, Mac, wait, you do that too on the weekends? Wait, JD, didn't you tell me you did that too? Like, whoa, that's wild. Like, or you're talking to Mac and you're having a good conversation, and then it's like, oh, JD, like, come over here real quick. Like, look what we just talked about. And you're kind of like testing the waters that way. Or I'll like, I feel like hopefully in that class, Mac, of that person who asked that question, there's some like leaders, good leaders in there that that teacher can trust maybe, or like give them that task to be like, hey, you're a great leader. They have respect for you. Like, try to join these groups, these people together, or like put them in group little activities where you have like two of your leaders in a group with like three other kids that like maybe not, they don't get along. Sometimes they just need different energy in that group to see, or just straight up be like, Mac, why don't you get along with JD? Like, talk to her on the side, be like, is there something like I need to know about? Did something happen? You know, like,
And not in the
because they're
sense that
still
everybody
candidates
has to be
too.
best friends. No one, like,
Yeah.
that's not what we're talking about.
No.
But how to cultivate, like to the person who asked that question, that's just, if someone's not best friends, that's fine. Like, no one, it's fine. But at least to the point of both of y'all, if you can, if they respect you enough, they'll be able to kind of get along enough, and you can, for lack of a term, better term, use that to kind of connect those dots, like you're saying.
Yeah, and I think you're gonna have classes that vibe really well together. Like, I like specifically thinking of one class I had last year that I swear every student fit perfectly. Like, it was a puzzle piece that, and they were all so weird in their own way, but they fit so well together, and we vibed amazing as a class. Like, there's like probably like three classes that I've taught will go in my like teacher hall of fame in my last like 7 years of teaching. There's three that I just was like, every single one of us vibes. Like, it was amazing. Energy was always, not every class is gonna be like that, and that's out of the however many kids and classes I've taught in 7 years, I'm thinking of three that we all jived together. Other than that, like, sometimes it's divided in half, sometimes it's in quarters, sometimes it's in thirds, like where they you all have your groups. And as long as it's not like a hostile environment, be okay with not everyone, like Matt just said, not everyone's gonna be best friends.
And you're there as the adult to model how they should be working appropriately with each other. Like they're still kids. They're still learning how to navigate those awkward social relationships. Something I do is I make it so that I'm the most awkward one in the room. Or if I force them to talk to each other, I'm like, I bet you both feel weird right now, right? Like, let's talk about it. Like, so I bring it up that it's awkward before they're just like, talk to each other, whatever. Like,
If they're being
I
mean to
make it
each
into a
other,
joke.
you need to know how to nib that in the bud real quick. Like, even if they're both doing it,
Don't
you,
allow like bullies in the classroom. Never, ever, ever.
Even if they're doing
No.
it to each other mutually.
Or gossip.
Oh my God.
Yeah, don't. There's nothing more like I can't stand more than like mean girls and bullies. Like,
My God.
no, we're cutting that real quick. That's not happening in my classroom.
I
That's
found
when
I
it
turn
is
into like
hard.
a mean person.
Yeah,
Cause
for sure.
I go, you're embarrassing. You're embarrassing me. Stop. Like if I can hear you, everybody else can hear you. And I can guarantee that everybody else is embarrassed by the way you're letting yourself be heard right now.
Oh
I say
yeah.
that to them. And I
I've
embarrass them because it's embarrassing to talk about other people like
yeah,
that.
it is. I've had a really hard time, especially at first, when maybe, let's say, maybe I agree. Like if someone, let's say someone's getting upset with a student because they just won't shut up, like they're constantly giving you attitude and da da, but they keep going and they take it to a different level. It's like, I agree. And you're not going to tell them that, but it's internally, it's like, yeah, I mean, you're right. They're rude and like disrespectful. But knowing how to like balance that and be like, listen, you can make observations about people and think things about people, but it's another to insult them out of their character and kind of take it to a new level. And like we've been talking about this whole time, knowing how to turn those into lessons and how to kind of build up, yes, you don't like them. That's okay. But are you willing to just be able to sit with that and not make it turn into a problem and a conversational piece?
Yeah, especially when students talk about other teachers as well. Like
Yeah, that's
you cannot be the teacher that is engaging in student gossip about your colleagues. That is so childish and so unprofessional.
It
You
is.
can sometimes you can do a little nod to the side and be like, well, you know how it is sometimes, but
Yeah,
like
sorry you feel that way.
you can't be quoted in saying
No.
something. Like there can be times where a student is really coming to you about something and you can have a conversation with them about it, but if it's like, you know, if it's gossip, you need to remain professional. I even had a situation the other day where a student had said something to me about me that another adult had said about me. And in my mind, in my head, I was reacting, but all I said was, well, you know what happened and I know what happened and that's all we need to know. Like I'm just glad everything worked out. And then on my own, I was able to process that on my own. And I was able to talk to my colleagues about that on my own. But in front of a student, they don't need to see me have that catty emotional reaction because like I don't need to feed into it. And then they'll be like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have brought that up. Maybe that's like not a thing people need to hear.
A couple people have asked me in regards to respect. As a young teacher, with colleagues, with students, how do you ensure or gain or maintain respect from both your colleagues laterally and your students?
I'm not their friend. I'm very friendly. I'm very kind. I joke around with them. I'm very genuine. Like, it might seem like I'm very, very, very friendly with everybody, but I am their teacher through and through, and they will know that when they overstep or ask a question that I'm like, oh, pause. Like, let's not at all.
Yeah, and
You know?
I feel like knowing it's kind of like your actions speak louder than your words. When you are clearly doing a good job with what you're doing, and you have kids that are always wanting to come and see you, or they want you to be there at these events, or you're putting on these great, for me, like games and activities, or these great lessons that y'all are doing, and you're seeing that how the kids are responding, that's your respect right there. Like when you are just doing your job and being good at what you're doing, your respect's earned and it maintains until you do something, to take it away. But I think just by like your actions, respect's there. Like when people know you're a good teacher, respect's gonna be there. The second, like I was new to the school I'm at last year, and I was super nervous going in because not only was I going to high school, but everyone knew me as the TikTok teacher. Like that's they didn't know me. They didn't even know my name. Like it was like this young TikTok teacher, like apparently just PE. Like people, it like n is it the best way to go into a school? Just like the idea of influencers or whatever. And I just did my job and like a week, and I never felt, I always was like so welcomed, but you just do your job and then it's like, oh my gosh, wow, like everything you're seeing online is like how it is, and the kids love her and she clearly loves what she does, and that's where you're gonna get respect when you're good at what you're doing.
Because you're there for them. Like they didn't choose to be there, but you did, and you're there to help them. Like you're there for them. You're not there for any of the drama. Like so like with the faculty thing or the other staff, how you like maintain respect and relationship. Like I've really tried this year and very recently this year to like stop like listening and engaging to gossip from other teachers, especially. Like it's not that bad, but like I'm there to do my job and I'm there to do a good job. And things that are distracting me from doing a good job, like petty things that don't really affect my day to day, like I just gotta like cut it out because I'm there for a purpose, you know.
I think it's the same goes for the positivity question, the same goes for the respect question. You will see what you look for. If you are looking for positivity, you will absolutely see positivity. If you're looking for negativity, you're absolutely going to see negativity. If you just assume that I'm doing my job and therefore people will respect me, that's all you have to worry about. But if you're looking to be like, oh, well, I wonder if this person doesn't respect me and this person doesn't respect me, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're doing your job and doing your job well, you're not doing yourself a favor by constantly asking yourself, like, well, do they respect me? Do they like me? Like, does these teachers like it's that's not your job. It's you be
And those are just
yourself and you respect
projections.
yourself. Right.
Those
Yeah.
are projections of your own insecurities. So what I would always, and I've said it
Yes.
on this podcast so many times, like my first year, my student teaching year, I was so anxious, especially talking to parents, because I was afraid of how I was being perceived as looking 12 years old. But that was only in my head. I have
Yeah.
no idea how people felt about me. So why pay such like taxing mental energy to it when it's just my own fears, like trying to manifest themselves into other people that I
Yeah.
don't even have access to inside of their heads, you know? So we'll probably have to do a part two because I got
Yes.
400 questions. I don't know if it'll be next episode, but at some point we'll do a part two because we have them stacked.
So where can we find y'all?
You can find me on TikTok at She Teaches Art and on Instagram at I changed it. She underscore teaches underscore art.
Yeah, you
Because I
did.
didn't want to do
Awesome.
she I didn't want to do She Teaches Art JD.
Find me on TikTok at Miss underscore Matalevich and then on Instagram at Miss Matt underscore PE.
Y'all can find me at Mac Barton on all the places. Instagram, TikTok, all the places. So this has been another
Yay!
episode of
The three
Teacher Core.
teacher core.
Thank you.
Bye, y'all.